This episode of The Crunch Zone is sponsored by the O-Line Sports Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport Road. Make O-Line your home for Cardinal basketball when you can't be at the game. For a buy one, get one free entree, text CRUNCH to 72727.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from Yum Arena. This is Mike Lindsay, also known as Crumb's Revenge, and I'm with
Mark Blankenbaker, also known as at U of O Sheriff 50.
And we're going to talk about Senior Week. So we've got the ladies versus UConn that just went down Monday night. We'll talk about that. We've got the men's Senior Day coming up against UConn. It's The Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Game of the Week.
Mark, the ladies fall to UConn.
They do. And it was actually a really exciting first 5 minutes of the ball game. And I was into it, as exciting as the Yum Center's been all year.
16-13 in the first 5 minutes. A frenetic pace of scoring.
It was 7-0.
7-0 even before that.
And that's the biggest deficit UConn had seen all year. The largest before then was 4 to Maryland in the first half. And so I think that's an accomplishment. You know, they didn't beat UConn, but they gave them the largest deficit of the year, at the Yum Center. And
22,176 fans on Native Appreciation Night.
Yep.
It, for a loss, it was kind of a heartwarming night.
It was, and I would have liked to see better basketball from the ladies, because I've always felt like the ladies are sort of, you know, UConn's in their head. Like that. They can play really well at stretches, but they just can't carry it over a whole game. And I think some of that's Gina or Emma and how good UConn is. But for whatever reason, they sometimes seem to get out of Louisville basketball. We saw Shoni Schimmel really kind of flatline for much of the game. And, you know, she needed to have a better game. She knows that. She had a lot of pressure. Her and her sister Jude both had a lot of pressure in this game to really show out in front of all the natives that were there. And, you know, maybe they'll get them again in the regional.
And they're just robots. I mean, they were. What I was surprised about was the team quickness of UConn, because you watch them and they all almost hit every shot they take. And you're like, okay, well, maybe there is something else you can get. But no, they're quicker than you are, too.
Yeah.
And they're a little bit taller than you are, too.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed.
Where does it end?
How many open shots they did have. But yeah. It was like Gino said in postgame, if you give us open shots, we're going to make them.
Right.
And, you know, that's just the way it is. And with women, they use a smaller ball than the men. They usually shoot a higher percentage from the foul line. So uncontested shots, you know, they are going to hit at a higher rate than contested shots. And that's true in men's basketball and women's basketball. And Louisville paid the price against the Huskies.
Yeah, and Stewart is, I don't know if she's a forward or center. I think she's a forward, but she is one of the tallest girls out there, and she is one of the fastest girls out there. It was just unfair watching her blocking shots, running the fast break, shooting the three, getting all the rebounds. And I know that Jeff Walls was a little frustrated with some of the rebounding. A lot of the weak side rebounding was falling to the ground or going straight to UConn. So just not putting a body on people and just kind of, you know, just the fundamentals. A shot from the far side is coming off the other side and just blocking out. So I think the girls, though, we've got some interviews, and we're going to cut to those here in a little bit. But I think overall the girls' mood was, we can play with them, and we're going to get them next time. And you'll hear that in a Shoni interview. I was pretty impressed, at least, that they have it in their head that this is something they want back.
Yeah, you know, they're going to get them again, probably in the AAC tournament. That's next week. So they'll have a chance at them again, and then potentially again in the NCAA tournament. I think entering into the NCAA tournament, if they don't beat UConn in the AAC, they could potentially be a four-loss team with three to the probable national champions, and I think that's a hell of an accomplishment. And the only other loss was another top 10 team. Mm-hmm. They lost on the road, heartbreaker, to Kentucky, because they went, that game went all the way down the wire. They probably should have won that game, but they can maybe get UConn one of these times. If they don't get them in the American Athletic Conference, maybe they get them in the regional here at the Yum Center, or possibly in the Final Four in Nashville. I think it's really exciting, and it's tough to keep beating teams. I know that, you know, UConn's the best team in the world, but even Denny Crum used to say it's tough to beat a team three times, no matter who they are.
Right.
In a season.
1986, University of Kentucky played LSU for the fourth time, going into the Elite Eight to play Louisville in the Final Four. LSU beats him, meets Louisville in the Final Four.
Yeah, and so maybe they just keep playing. Maybe Louisville finally steals that game, because I think that's what this program honestly needs, to turn the corner from national runner-up to national champion. And obviously it is, because they're the national champion.
Path goes through UConn.
And, you know, I think that this team is legitimately worthy of a Final Four. And, you know, who knows what happens once you get there. But I think that the program overall can really turn a corner if they can beat UConn one time.
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad they didn't get enough fouls, because they really don't have much of a rotation. They played basically six players. They're seventh and eighth players. Totaled three total fouls. So they couldn't get them on just wearing them out. The ladies' team, meanwhile, played nine players, all with pretty decent minutes. Shoni Schimmel, I mean, you can't say enough about her. 2,000-point club. She's been an amazing representative to the school. She has definitely done a lot outside of basketball for the University of Louisville, and she's traveled around over the summer with her sister, talked to different Native tribes and about you know, stepping out into the world and making your mark, and they're obviously great examples of that. So let's go ahead and cut to a few of these interviews that we got, and we're going to do an interview blitz. Louisville women's head coach Jeff Walls.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the fans were great. Really appreciate everybody that came out today. You know, unfortunately, we didn't put together a 40-minute game, and that's what you have to do with this team. You know, I thought we did a great job the first 10 minutes of spreading them out, driving it. If it wasn't there, we kicked, or, you know, drove it out, then passed and drove it again. You know, their team, they don't foul a bunch. So when you drive on them, they're going to have to help. So when the help comes, you can't try to force up shots in the paint because they're so big. But then what you got to do is kick to the open player, and we missed several open teammates on the drive, which we'll show them in film, because against them, you're not going to get a bunch of baskets in the paint. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, so you're going to have to be able to make 8 to 15-foot jumpers for your post players, and your guards are going to have to knock down open threes. Well, I'm not sure she had anticipated that it would get to this point. You know, I know our run last year in the NCAA tournament had a big impact. Her and Jude were on the speaking circuit all last summer, going from reservation to reservation, speaking and sharing their story, and, you know, giving a lot of hope to kids. And, you know, this entire year, I've tried to tell people. I mean, we play at Oklahoma, and we've probably got close to 2,000 natives that come and watch that game. We played at Memphis the other day, and I think set their attendance record since they renovated their arena, and three-fourths of them were natives. You know, every place we go, there's a big following for them. And it's, you know, it's what we're doing now. It's just not the basketball part of it. It's signing autographs afterwards. Our entire team does a great job of making sure they give back. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. I thought it was a great crowd.
UConn women's head coach Gino Auriemma.
I've been asked that question a lot this week, knowing that this was going to be her senior night. And I enjoy watching her play. You know, she's one of those kids that, and when she's got it going, when she's playing well, she's just fun to watch. And she makes plays that a lot of kids can't make, and she makes shots that most people wouldn't even take. You know, it's been hard to guard her. You know, each and every year it's gotten harder and harder. I think we've done a pretty good job on her the two times that we played her this year, but you know, it's like, I don't know how long you can you know, keep doing it. But she's a pretty unique kid. I kind of like her. Upsets happen when the team that's supposed to win plays lousy, and then the other team has to play great. So those two things have to happen. We have to play poorly, which I'm sure we're capable of, and the other team has to play great. You know, like the way Louisville beat Baylor last year. Okay, Baylor didn't play great in the first half. By the time they started playing great, it was too late. But Louisville played amazing. If Louisville had just played, and Baylor had played lousy, Baylor would have still won. So it's going to take a combination of things, you know, not just one thing. Absolutely, absolutely. I think they're number one seed. You know, they've done everything they were supposed to do. They don't have any bad losses, you know, and usually that's what hurts you in the NCAA tournament. If you have a bad loss or two, three, whatever, then you're in trouble. But they don't have any bad losses. And it's not like, well, they just got good this year and they don't have the respect that they that maybe someone else would have. They, what, for the last 4 or 5 years, you know, they've been in two Final Fours and played in two national championship games. So anybody that's, by any measure, you're looking at their program saying, you know, there's a reason why you gave them the bid, because you know they're going to fill up the building, and you know they're going to play great, and you know they're going to be a top seed. Well, now reward them because they've earned it. So I don't know. That's not to say that there aren't other people that may be deserving of number one seeds, but I don't know anybody that deserves it more than they do. That's for sure.
The O-Line Girl is Cardinal Central for U of L basketball games on TV. Grab your friends and get to O-Line to grab a bucket of domestic beers for $9 or other game time specials like 24 wings and 2 domestic buckets for just $30. If craft beer is your thing, O-Line has several taps too. Support the Crunch Zone and head there for lunch. And get a buy one, get one free entree by texting Crunch to 72727. The O-Line Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport in Louisville's East End on the front line of Cardinal sports.
Louisville star guard Shoni Schimmel.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we've learned a lot from that game and the last game we played them. And even today, you know, we learn every time it's something different from them. And so for us to take that and, you know, take it back to our lab, and, you know, Coach Walls is a master of the chemistry, you know. So for us to do that, it helps us. And, you know, every game, we're going to get them one time. I promise you that, whether it be conference championship game or, you know, the national championship game, whatever it may be, we're going to get them.
Sean, in this class, your freshman class came in with – open this arena with what was then two of the biggest crowds in program history. You now closed it with third, top of that list. With the attendance you guys have brought here, how much closer does that bring people mentioning Louisville with the UConns and the Tennessees and the Baylors?
You know, I hope it brings a lot of positives to us. You know, I mean, especially our program's coming up in the last 7 years, and so, you know, that goes to Coach Walls for getting his recruiting together and, you know, and getting the fans out there, whether it be buying them a beer, you know, for a dollar or whatever it is. You know, he's done a great job with this program, and so for our fans to believe in us and, you know, to believe in Coach Walls, they've done a great job in the past, you know, few years, and so for that to happen, you know, we get the pleasure of playing in front of them, and, you know, 22,000, whatever it may be, 18,000, it's still awesome to us, and not many people do that, and so for us to have, you know, a lot of fans come out and watch us, you know, we're very proud of it.
Okay.
How can you be so confident after a 20-point loss to try to get them eventually?
Just because, you know, I mean, they have weaknesses too. And so, you know, I think we're going to get them. And, you know, just like Baylor last year, nobody thought we were going to beat them. And, hey, we did that. So, you know, doubt us or not, we still believe. And we don't need anybody else to believe in us if we believe. And so for us to do that, you know, that's all that matters. And our whole team is going to sit there and, you know, we're going to believe that we're going to win one time. And I promise you we will.
Louisville star guard Tia Gibbs.
It was great, you know, great turnout. Like Shoni said, we play in front of the best fans in the nation. You know, we didn't expect nothing less from our fans. It's a bittersweet moment, I guess, you know, to know that we've made it this far. We've been through a lot, but to know that, you know, it's our college careers are coming to an end is kind of, you know, a sad day, but we still got a lot of basketball to play. You know, the season isn't over for us. That's the exact word. It's, you know, we're witnessing, you know, something that hasn't been done in women's basketball. You know, we go anywhere in the country and we've got more fans in red than the other team has on their home floor. And I think it goes to show Shoni and Jude's character, you know, and they're special people, and what they're doing for the whole Native American culture is very special. And they're kind of showing them, you know, what can be done just if you jump out on a leap of faith. And that's what Shoni and Jude did. They're, you know, clear across the country and making a huge impact on all Native Americans.
Louisville radio legend Paul Rogers. We're here right now at the UConn game. It started off hot, 16-13. The girls look great. Seems like UConn all of a sudden turns it to a different gear or something.
They are just so much better than everybody else. This was a beautiful night here. The crowd was phenomenal. The Native American celebrations were so neat. And I think everybody left feeling as good as you could feel about a 20-point loss. But Connecticut is just so darn good. And you know what? They aren't good just on talent. They play hard. They do not take a possession off. How many loose ball rebounds did they run down? I mean, they are a terrific team. I love the Cardinals' attitude. Shoni Schimmel, we just heard, saying, I promise you, we're going to get them eventually. I'm not sure everybody believes her, but they're the only ones that have to believe it.
Okay, and that's going to wrap up the women's basketball. Now we're going to head over to men's basketball. Paul, I saw the whole beard. You had the whole thing going on in Memphis. The fans were crazy. Tell us a little bit about the game, the fans, some of the things maybe we didn't see on TV.
It's just a great atmosphere there. Memphis is so much like Louisville in terms of their passion for the game, the downtown arena, the whole scene. It's a great game. Lively crowd, hard played, well played by both teams for the most part. And unfortunately for Louisville, they followed a path that we've become all too familiar with of having a game in their grasp and just weren't able to close it out for who knows what reasons. I mean, you can go down the list of things, but Memphis made some key plays, made the free throws, Louisville missed shots, and came up short.
Okay, so big week for the men's team coming up. SMU on the road, which you'll be traveling for tomorrow, and then senior night for Russ Stickulus and the rest of the gang against UConn. Two big, important games.
Yeah, the SMU game could sure undo a lot of sad feelings if they could go in there and win, but they have not lost a home game this year. Of course, Cincinnati had neither, and Louisville pulled that one off. SMU, very talented. They only lost by 8 here. Larry Brown's got a good thing going down there. That Coliseum, they say, is just a wild place. The puzzling thing about them is their two losses to Temple and South Florida, but they were on the road. So we'll see. However it turns out, then Louisville will come back for that final game against UConn. And if they win that one, if they win both of them, they'll be in great shape. They'd be the league champion. But even if they can at least win one of the two, and especially that last one against UConn, I think they'll be feeling good going into the tournament.
All right, thanks for joining us, Paul.
My pleasure.
All right, Mark, senior day. Here we are talking about UConn again, another senior day, another UConn squad. We're going to miss a lot of these key players. I mean, you got Van Treese, you've got Luke, you've got Russ. I mean, who else we got here?
You got Van Treese, Luke, Russ, and Tim Henderson.
And, I mean, Jesus.
You know, that
wipeout.
I mean, you can just go down the list, and there's just memory after memory, and these guys have written their own story. And I think, if you go just from Henderson, two huge threes, his nickname
Wichita.
Is now Wichita. It went from Hendo to Wichita now. Yep. So that's you. Steven Van Treese, fifth-year guy.
Van Beast, and I remember Van Earthquake was the big call from the announcer last year on a couple of his follow dunks.
Right, and he's been a great addition and very steady player, big wide frame, and he's stuck with it. You know, he really has, and he's playing major minutes now. And then you go Luke Hancock, the MOP.
Yep.
You know, nobody,
three to the dome.
Nobody will ever in the history of Louisville basketball forget about Luke's tournament run and the player that he is now, the MOP, and then
he was, you know, he had obviously a big hand in Wichita too. Everyone credits Henderson's two big threes because he's the one who made us believe again. But Luke took over quite a bit at the end of that Wichita State game, yep. And it just kept going. I mean his championship game. I mean, I think the Final Four too. I mean, it's just, that was Wichita. So I mean, he has just been very exciting to watch for a George Mason transfer.
Yep.
And I just remember they were talking about Larenga. Is that his name? Who's his old
Larenaga.
Coach? Larenaga. Saying, is it a big shot you need? That's your guy. You need a big stop? Not your guy.
We hit that game winner. He hit the game winner for George Mason at the buzzer in the NCAA tournament. I forget who they upset, but that was before he transferred.
Villanova. Oh, no, it was he Nova. Beat Villanova because right. Jay Wright came in and said when Louisville got that, he's like, you just got yourself a ball player.
Yeah. And, you know, and they proved to be right. And
Rick said he was the best player on the team, and he started himself slow shooting last year. But then, of course, everyone loved him by the end of the year.
Yeah, you know, and like you said in the Wichita game, everybody does give Henderson a lot of credit for sparking the run, but Luke Hancock really drove it. He took over that game in a way because Russ was not around
right.
in that Final Four game. For whatever reason, the light just wasn't on for yeah. him. And that happens in basketball, and
right.
Luke.
That's where you
took
hope
over.
Your depth can kind of fill in the void there.
Exactly, and Luke was a big time player in that game. And then finally, you know, I mean, what can you really say about
Mr. Two Star?
Everybody thought he was transferring. He thought he was transferring. He had his bags packed, and now he is.
People were calling for his transfer as freshman.
They're like, why did we give this kid a scholarship? Oh yeah. My God, Russ Smith,
yeah.
You're amazing. I love you, Russ. And he is probably going to finish. Probably fifth in career scoring at the University
of Louisville.
The
pace he's on right now. Where do you have that list in front of you by chance?
I have the list in front of me.
Okay.
Right now he's eighth.
Eighth.
In career scoring.
And he's tied with a bunch of Smiths, right? Isn't he with a bunch of Smiths right now?
He's right behind LeBradford Smith
yeah.
and Derek Smith.
Yeah.
And when he – yeah, so he's with the Smiths.
Yeah, he's in the Smiths Smith segment.
And then after that, he's probably going to get Milk Wagner.
Oh, Milk Wagner.
Yeah,
delicious.
Whole Milk Wagner. No, whole
– yeah.
It's a Milt Wagner,
that's
clearly.
Right. Does the body good.
It does. But Reese Gaines is a stretch goal for Russ Smith. It is attainable, but he's got to play all the way to the national championship
yeah.
game to get there.
And we'll see.
And that will be
we
tough.
Love our team, but we know we got holes, so it'll have to be
gotta
good
be the right
playing
run.
At the right time and the right matchups.
Gotta
and we'll
be the
see
right
what
run.
Happens.
And you, know,
and you gotta believe. I mean, if you think you can do it, you can absolutely do it.
Absolutely, and I do think he will break the steal record. He only needs...
Is it Peyton's?
It's Peyton's.
How unfair is that?
That
1 year...
Yeah, that, I get
some
that.
Of these records were breaking, like Montrez's dunk record. I mean, that was, I know Shane Tatum, it was like a 25-year-old record. It's like
Daryl Griffith held the record for 32 years, or yeah. 33 years, excuse
okay,
me.
Okay, there we go.
And then
back
Peyton
to back.
Siva breaks it, and yeah. then Siva gets to hang on to it for 1 year, and then Russ, in all likelihood, will break
Man.
That record. And there's a lot of other records that Russ is going to move up the charts on, season-wise and career-wise. He's really on the cusp of several of them, but he's already in career free throw attempts, a career free throw makes, season free throw makes. That was last year, and then he's edging up towards that again. Career three-pointers attempted, career three-pointers made.
Yeah.
I could go on the list.
Yeah.
The one that I'm really looking
at. All of none of which we would have – of pegged him for
Ever.
when we got him.
But I think maybe the most likely, the least likely, I'm sorry, that people might be surprised that he could actually make a run for the career assist list.
Wow.
In top 10. And that just would be the
yeah.
most surprising.
Nice pass, Russ.
It's an incredible stretch goal for him to get in there. He would have to play all 40 games this season to
okay.
really make a run
is
at his current
rate. Is it
some
astronomically high average, or is it a reasonable average?
It's what he's averaging now.
Okay.
If he can continue
so
to do what
he's
doing.
So if he can get to the championship game.
Yeah. But
he has a chance.
It's a stretch goal because the team has to win.
Right.
But I just think that if Russ Smith could finish his career in the top 10 assist list for the University of Louisville, even though it's
that
a
that could
long
be the
shot,
biggest surprise of them all.
It could. That would be the biggest surprise ever. So, especially
yeah.
after his sophomore season. So, I think we all just really have a really, I don't know if it's a soft spot necessarily, but we're very, you know, we love these guys.
Yeah.
You know, we do. These four guys.
In a really weird fanboy sense.
Yeah, really weird way. Because especially for a guy like Van Treese, he's been here 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, oh, yeah, this Van Treese guy, he's going to redshirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's gonna come on. And,
yeah.
And, you know, yeah, he's a very utility guy. We call him the garbage man. And,
yeah.
you know, he's Stephen Van Hustle and
yeah.
all this other stuff.
Van Beast.
They all have nicknames, which
yeah.
I think is incredible.
Yeah.
So I love it. And it's going to be sad to see him go when they play UConn.
Yeah, you know, I don't have this video, but I do remember when he introduced Van Treese, Peyton Siva, Rakeem Buckles, and Mike Mara, I think. And he said, these guys are going to be the most successful guys run through this program. You mark my words. When he introduced them as freshmen, he was just, I'm thrilled with these guys. They're all players. They all have the hearts in the right spot. You mark my words. And I remember him saying that it's like the preseason luncheon. So I, you know, if anyone has that footage, find it for me. I'd love to have it. But turns out he was pretty damn right, Pitino was, on this group. Now, Rakim would have been great. We could have used him this year, but obviously a bunch of injuries kind of sent him south. And then Mike Mara, damn, if injuries didn't get him too, and they just he just didn't get the extra year because what's the point? So
right.
So Van Beest is back. He should have graduated, you know, with Peyton, but we got the extra year. That is an amazing class. So mixing in with pretty successful guys out of Hendo, Wichita, three to the dome, and Russ Diculous.
That's right. I mean, I never would have thought that Luke Hancock would have, you know, obviously he didn't sign here. I never thought he would have been MOP. Yeah. Never thought Russ Smith, even though I did like him a lot as a freshman. I remember telling my dad, we were at the Yum Center. It was the first year the Yum Center's around. And they Pitino put Russ in, and he just was, like, incredible on defense. And I was like, why don't we play this guy more often?
Yeah.
And I don't – you know, we didn't see practice, and that's obviously why. But, I mean, Russ, I liked him. And when they talked about him maybe transferring, I was like – well, okay. I mean, I don't understand. Maybe he will be a great player for Steve Masiello in Manhattan.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He stuck it out, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Well, big game against UConn. It's a payback game. If everyone remembers, that was one of the biggest road games and wins of the season for Louisville. Kevin Ollie got thrown out on what was a terrible call by the ref.
It was awful.
When Wayne Blackshear essentially landed on a shooter, and they called it a no. You know, I guess they just kind of didn't make a call at all. So Kevin Ollie lost his business.
Yes.
And then he lost his seat on the bench for that game.
Yeah, and, you know, that was one of Montrezl Harrell's best games of his career, really. He went for 18 and 13, 8 of 10 from the field, 3 blocks, an assist to steal, only 2 turnovers.
What were
he
Mango's,
played all 40 minutes.
That's incredible. What were Mango's stats? I remember Mango having a decent game, like, against their bigs.
Yeah, he played 17.
Holding his own.
He played 17 minutes. He got 4 points, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 3 blocks.
3 blocks. That's
I think
what
that's
I
what everybody remembers was that big block that he had. Mm-hmm. We were all at the O-Line Sports Grill watching it with friends.
Game watch party, having a good time.
And I remember the place going nuts on that one weak side Mango block that was really, really tough.
Yeah.
So, but I really want Terry Rozier have a better game against UConn. The UConn's backcourt is extremely strong. Everybody knows about Shabazz Napier. Russ Smith had a pretty good game. He went to the foul line 15 times.
Oh, my God.
And so that's an incredible amount of trips. Shabazz Napier went 13 times.
Yeah.
But Louisville dominated the game. They won by 12.
Yeah.
I feel like it was bigger than that. Like the lead was never
for
really
some reason out. I thought maybe they got some in the end. They kind of just made it feel closer than it actually was. But I will say this: we're not just folks. So you're listening. We're not talking SMU because we're recording so close to the game that we just don't want to be completely time irrelevant. So we are skipping past that just to talk about UConn. Hopefully we won the game. But for UConn, this is, I mean, it's just another big game. So we had in our final 5 games, 4 top 50s, 3 on the road. So my inside hope was that we could win 3 of 4. Because that is asking a lot, considering 3 are on the road.
It is.
So we gave up 1 to Memphis. Who knows about SMU? Hopefully we got it.
Yeah.
Listeners right now are either cheering or mad when they hear this.
Right. I'll make a little bold prediction. I think they will win the SMU game.
Okay.
Even though, you know,
even though it's over.
After. They'll be listening to this after. I think they will win the SMU game.
Undefeated. They are undefeated
at home. They're undefeated at home, but I like that. But I think
And remember this. Last time we played them, they had 2 starters that had just come back from injury, game 1.
I do remember that.
And they are now well worked into the system now. So whatever they were then, that doesn't count as SMU.
Very, very true.
You know, now they're ready to go. But anyway, we're not talking about SMU. See, we keep doing it.
I know.
So back to UConn.
Do it. I was just going to say that for the Memphis game that they lost, they were on a 7-game winning streak, and I felt like Coach Pitino with the beard thing was like, I have a mature team now. Like, these guys can handle success, so let's do the beard thing. Let's get a little something to rally around, bond us together. And they go in, they get a big lead against Memphis, and then they really kind of, I mean, for lack of a better phrase, they shit the bed.
Yeah.
And
their blood is boiling talking about this.
There it is.
Let's keep this short.
And then Patino's like, I was really disappointed. My team wasn't mature enough. They acted like middle school kids.
Celebrating too early.
And they celebrated too early. So I think Memphis actually could have done Louisville a favor in that game because they did celebrate. Yeah. And they did have similar end-of-the-game situation against Memphis as they did the previous time. I think they may have really, really and truly done Louisville a favor. They made Coach Patino angry.
If it's not the NCAA tournament, it's a learning opportunity.
Exactly. And it was on the road.
Yeah.
And it was a close game.
And we weren't going to get a one again. Seed. People were like, let's win out and try to go for it. We weren't going to get a one seed. We were barely even going to be considered for a two seed. I mean, even with our record right now, Lunardi, who does a pretty good job, still pegs us at a five, you know, which I think is low. I mean, I really think it's unfair, but he is more accurate than just about any of them. So don't think the loss ruined anything. Maybe it just helped us, like Mark said.
We're about to see a great deal of carnage in college basketball because everybody's going to really lose. Like, the conferences always try to project and then pit their top two teams in the final game of the season. That's going to be the Saturday when Louisville does play UConn. In the SEC, Kentucky will play Florida. And across the country, the leagues will try to pit their best two teams against each other going in to their conference tournaments. So that's going to happen across the country. Then you're going to go into a conference tournament where everybody except for one team in each conference is going to lose a game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of carnage. There's a lot of things that are going to happen, and there's a lot of movement that's going to take place.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
And let the bodies hit the floor. And if Louisville can come out, beat SMU, hopefully they did, beat UConn, maybe make the championship game in the AAC. We'll see what happens. It's going to be in Memphis, and it'll probably be against Memphis potentially. Yeah. We'll see.
You know what,
maybe
though?
Maybe things work out really well.
On Card Chronicle, mock draft, based on the way things were, we might get Memphis in the semis. I would puke.
Oh, man.
I would puke. If we got, because it was literally like, I think Memphis SMU playing in for us. I would vomit. I would rather not play Memphis till the final game since it's going to be a home game for them.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to play Memphis.
And who knows where it'll land, so it's not even worth talking about fake drafts. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things.
Maybe
that
we
can
play
happen.
Santa Claus. I don't know.
I'd rather play Cincinnati or Memphis. I don't want to play in the semis. I'd rather play UConn, SMU, Houston, anybody else other than those two because I think they're the best two teams in the league. I'm actually not worried about SMU or UConn. Maybe I'm dumb, but we'll find out.
We don't need to worry. Yeah. We don't play them.
Yeah. Well, I do worry.
It's easy.
This is what I think about. I get in bed and I worry about SMU and UConn.
Yeah.
Not really.
Your wife's like, why are you sweating? I'm freaking out over
Kevin Ollie yelling at the official.
That's right.
But no, I mean, I'm excited about March. I'm super pumped. This is the time of the year when everything's on the line. You're a finished product or you're not.
Yeah.
And you know, I've seen a lot of teams get a lot better. And some teams are staying the same.
All right, let's do this quick because we're gonna move on.
Okay.
Quick memory: we talked UConn, we talked Senior Day. First of all, quick prediction: UConn, Louisville, Senior Day.
Louisville wins by seven.
Seven?
Yeah, I think it's closer than last time.
And I'm gonna say 12.
Okay.
I'm thinking the hold steady at home. They're gonna just
same margin.
Really gonna throw it down on emotional Senior Day.
Okay.
I think it's gonna be a run out. All right. First, give me your first thing that comes to your mind about these seniors. Luke Hancock.
Three to the dome. The three threes against Michigan.
Rusticulous.
Crazy rapid fire shooting.
See, I said rusticulous so you couldn't use it.
Yeah.
You like that? All right. Tim Hendo.
Two in the corner against Wichita.
Okay. Steven Van Beest.
One of his putbacks. I'm trying to think which
More
team it was. Was it Oregon that he had the big putback, or was it Duke?
There's a lot of them.
There's a bunch of them.
I think if you track follow dunks,
he had a bunch.
He might have more follow dunks. Like, he might be in the top 10 list
for
follow dunks.
How about this? The Steve follow dunk.
Yeah. It really is. One handed.
Everybody.
Two handed, you know, off the break. I mean, you know, that it's funny that you watch him and you think of him as a bruiser and all this, but then every once in a while he gets out on the break or he's following a rebound with a dunk. That's, I think, probably the thing that I think of when I think of Van Beest is those little surprises.
Yeah.
Because you just don't think of him as like this guy that jumps real well or he's very athletic, but no, he does, and he is.
Yeah.
And he got some two-handed follow slam on your boys.
He's a utility player, and he's probably the ultimate utility player. He's huge. He can run. He can put back. I mean, he played 31 minutes the other night against Memphis. He didn't take a shot.
Yeah.
But he was huge in that game.
All right, so the rosters are cleared now because Gorgie left, Siva left, Shane got kicked off. We'll see what happens with where he's kind of been missing lately. And then we've got three to the dome gone. You got Russ gone. You got Hendo gone. You got Van Beest gone.
Probably going to lose Montrez.
Montrez probably going pro. That is a complete wipeout. So, I mean, you're a national championship, all those Final Fours. You are starting from scratch. And good news for the front court challenge Louisville Cardinals. They pick up another front court player to start next year. We're going to be so young, temper expectations, but my God, we're going to be tall and long.
Very tall, and the young man's name that you're thinking of is Anas Osama Mahmoud. He speaks four languages. He's going to come in and be a speed school student. He's extremely intelligent from Egypt. He averages 18 and 10.
Played on the national team.
High school kid. And actually,
and he's a forward.
Yeah, he's going to be a three or a four.
Yeah, he's a 7'2" forward.
Seven
folks.
Foot two, 205. He's got good skills. He actually grew.
And he's not the only 7'2" guy in this class.
Right.
Crazy.
He actually grew 7 inches in the last year and a half.
Wow. How do you keep up with that? How do your bones and your agility keep up with that?
I don't know, but I saw a film on him. He looks great. I mean, and I know Richard was actually super mad because it came down, for everybody who doesn't know, Minnesota, Georgia Tech, and Louisville, all great schools with engineering programs. Yep. That was something that was important to him.
Yep.
And Richard really, really wanted him. And Papa Rick slapped his son around.
Said, "You'll have your chance one day, kid."
With Osama Mahmoud.
Yeah.
So I'd really like it. I'd really like the name. I mean, you know, it's going to be cool.
Well, you know, just so folks, we're talking about this height and length. It's tall people. It's long wingspans. We're going to look a lot like Syracuse. We got 7'2" guy from the Netherlands, 7'2" guy from Egypt. We got a 6'10" guy who I think has roots in Africa, but he's in Maryland.
He's pretty Americanized. Chinano Onowaku is that young man. And then the other guy you're talking about, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his
Mats.
Name. Mats Stockman, or is it just Mats with the silent Z? Because we all are really loving the silent
letters,
the
really
silent consonants at the end of names. With Montrez, Mango, and then I hope it's Matt. I'm hoping it's Matt.
Because it's
we'll find out.
It's not even close. It's Mark.
It would be amazing.
I have a silent Z and I have a missing R. It's Mark.
Yeah. And a lot of people aren't even talking about Jalen Johnson and Shaquan Aaron, both six foot eight.
Yeah, well, yeah. And Shaquan can play guard at 6'8". They'll probably put him at that three spot. But, you know, the wingspans and the length. But it's going to be trouble. You know, we're going to go in the ACC. We're going to be very little experience. I mean, we're talking some of our big experience guys are going to be Terry Rozier,
you know? Chris Jones. You're going to mix in some Quentin Snyder.
Yeah,
Wayne Blackshear is going to be your most seasoned player. Yep. And who knows what he's going to be like as a senior.
Hopefully
he
takes over
on this March and we can really get excited about him, you know, coming into the last season. So after that, it's a lot of youth. Akoya Gao, Mango Mathiang.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be
And those guys are tall. We're going to have eight guys that are 6'9 or taller.
I hate to say it.
We have like two this year.
Louisville next year might be a lot like Kentucky is all the time.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
You know,
we will. We'll have our youngest team ever.
It'll be one of the youngest teams I can ever remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all happened sort of naturally.
You're probably right. It's probably his youngest team since he's been at Louisville.
Yeah, and I think he's honestly super excited about it.
There was one class with T. Will and Millard and all those guys, and he brought in like eight kids, Brian Harvey, and there was a whole bunch of them, and none of them really worked out, and half of them left. Mm-hmm. That could be up for a pretty young team, but this class is six people now? Seven?
It's at six, and I really, like, if you made me pick a starting lineup, I would say Chris, Terry, Shaquan or Wayne, we'll see how that works out.
Yep.
Jalen Johnson and Chinano Onowaku would be who I would say would start.
Folks, be patient with this team. It's going to be fun to watch them grow. We should cheer them on game by game by how much they've improved, I guess.
You know, maybe Mango makes a run at that starting center spot against Shinano.
Yeah.
But I really can't
discount experience.
I'm not going to discount him at all because I think he's going to have a big jump, just like Montrez had freshman to sophomore year. But if you take me player for player right now, you know, that's who I would say Onowaku would start. But, you know, you never know because I think Onowaku has that real mean streak.
That's good.
Big time.
Got to be hungry on the
inside. He's going to be there in the middle. And with the new rules, the shot block is such a huge part of it.
And by the way, we just talked about Rick Pitino solved that problem in a big way.
I mean, yeah, he's going to have six players, 6'8 or better.
Yeah. And all longer wingspans than height.
He's going to have four players that are 6'10 or better.
Yeah.
So you're really looking at a really tall team that's going to be coming in. I actually think he might play a lot of zone.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we can't be a get down low kind of team with that kind of height.
But you can deny a lot of passes with that length.
Yeah,
you know, and really cause some problems.
We'll do that frustrating Syracuse zone all over the place.
Absolutely, it might look like a lot like Jim Boeheim's teams. It really might.
And Louisville's pulled that off very well. They did that zone. I mean, hell, that's their first Final Four. They had to use the zone a lot with Francisco Garcia and Dean and Ellis Miles, and got really good at it.
If they're gonna have a real tall guy like Honest outside out front.
Yeah.
They could play a 1-3-1 style with him at the top of the key and denying everything from the inside, and that could get really interesting.
Yeah.
Because if he has the mobility, which we'll find out if he does
like,
or not.
If you're wondering why they have a 7-foot-2 guy in the front, it's because they also got a 7-foot-2 guy in the back.
Exactly.
We got 5-7-2 guys. You
We're
know?
Just patrolling the air. It's the no-fly zone.
That's right.
Everybody's got to bounce past everything to get it to the target. So,
well, we're going to sure miss the seniors, and it's going to be a fun new next year. But we're going to wrap it up for today's Crunch Zone. Don't forget, you can check us out on the website, thecrunchzone.com. You can check it on Louisville.am, our proud sponsor. O-Line Grill, make sure to stop by and have some wings from there. And set us up for automatic download on iTunes, because we are too legit to quit. So, Mark, any last words?
I do. Go Cards forever. I promise to rep the veal. And-